Yep, y'all knew we'd be getting to this one eventually. I guess I'm on a specific type of roll, considering that last week we've done both the City Bike Karen, which was a story with an American racial component, and the reaction to Mizzy over in the UK, which was a story with a British racial component. The thing is, my argument across all of these events, even previous events that concern race, like George Floyd, for example, is never one about genetics. It's always about subcultures and behaviors. On May 1st, 2023, around 2:30 p.m., Jordan Neely, a homeless 30-year-old black man, was killed by Daniel Penny, a 24-year-old white ex-Marine, who placed him in a chokehold while they were riding on the New York subway. Man, so many of my stories recently are happening in New York. It sounds like the city to not be in right now. So, let's talk about Jordan Neely. I'm not going to play the full video this time, since it's literally a recording of a man fucking dying, and that will most certainly get my channel nuked. We've all probably seen it before, it was all over the place, I'm sure you know what's going on. The news used a small clip of the encounter while Neely was still alive, and that's probably the same clip that I'll use. The video was recorded by Juan Vasquez, a freelance journalist. Vasquez described the event by saying that although Neely didn't attack anybody, he was yelling, "I don't have food, I don't have a drink, I'm fed up, I don't mind going to jail and getting life in prison, I'm ready to die." Giving more detail in an interview with Curbed, Vasquez said that Neely stopped the subway car doors from closing and pushed his way in. He then stood in the middle of the train car, screaming that he didn't have food or water, he didn't care about going to jail, and that he was willing to die. People began to move away from Neely. Neely then violently ripped off his own jacket and slammed it on the floor. It was at that point that Penny placed Neely into a chokehold in order to subdue him, and two other onlookers assisted. 3 minutes of the chokehold were recorded by Vasquez, but he and others in the subway claimed that the hold lasted for either 15 minutes or 7 minutes. It's not exactly clear which. The timeline is still confusing even today. New York City Mayor Eric Adams claimed later that the police arrived 6 minutes after the 911 call, which was made shortly after the chokehold began. An onlooker stated his belief that Penny was going to kill Neely, but after Penny released Neely, that same onlooker examined him and said, "He's all right, he ain't gonna die." One witness stated that when Penny let up on the chokehold, Neely coughed up blood and mucus. Another witness exclaimed that Neely had shit himself, which might be a sign that he died, but one of the other men helping to restrain him replied that the shit in question was dried and old. Okay, this isn't funny, I shouldn't be laughing. 50 seconds after Neely became motionless, Penny released the chokehold and put him into the recovery position. Onlookers mistook Neely's death rattle noises and movements as a sign that he was recovering and wasn't actually seriously injured by the restraint. The medical examiner's office declared the death to be a homicide, with the cause being compression of the neck in the chokehold. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office announced that Penny was being charged with second-degree manslaughter, and Penny voluntarily turned himself into the police on May 12th. His next court appearance is on July 17th. And because we're on the internet and everything is hyper-politicized, progressives had to give a knee-jerk take that perfectly aligned with their preconceived worldviews before the entire story was even out. The general prog position was that Penny is a white supremacist, a charge that he denied, and that Neely was just exercising his free speech and was killed by white people, and it's being covered up by white media and white cops. Probably the craziest take was Emma Vinglin's on the Majority Report. Listen to this.
I was hit at one point sitting on the subway by a man who was having a mental health episode. He sat next to me and he was elbowing and kind of flailing around and hit me in the face and in my body. And it was jarring, right? The idea that I would want him to be hurt in any way, I just didn't want to be near him in that moment because I understood something was going on here. Every one of us who's taken public transit has had this kind of situation, something similar happen, seeing someone struggling. That doesn't mean that our fear in that instance, and I was a little scared because I was hit.
It's a problem. Like, it's people that need help.
My fear is not the primary, object of like what we should be focusing on right now. It's the fact that this person is in pain. And so, like, the politics of dehumanization privileges the bourgeois kind of concern of people's, like, immediate discomfort in this narrow, narrow instance, as opposed to larger humanity and life.
That's right, kids. If you want to ride public transit without being harassed or threatened by a homeless guy, you're bourgeois, and your concerns are secondary. This shit is actually delusional. But this is what the discourse became about, at least among the leftoids. ContraPoints stated, "I've felt threatened by unwell people on public transit. I've been verbally abused. I've even been masturbated at. But you know what I didn't do to any of those people? Murder them." Okay, I accept your virtue signal, but look at the precedent this idea sets. If a homeless crazy person, especially if they're black, on public transit, decides they want to threaten you with violence, according to progressive morality, you have a moral obligation to just let him carry on, because your belief that he's a threat is bourgeois. Unless he actually shanks you, your comfort is not important. And hell, I'm sure for some of them, they don't care if you actually get shanked. It's like I said in the previous video, this is where punching up versus punching down ultimately leads you. On the other hand, the conservative take, lionizing Penny for his actions, was still kind of wrong. Penny clearly held the chokehold for too long, ignoring several possible signs he could be going overboard. That's why he got slapped with a manslaughter charge. But the conservative take was way less wrong than the progressive one. Neely didn't deserve to die for being homeless and having a mental break. He didn't even deserve to die for being violent. But the people around him also didn't deserve to feel threatened, and their safety is more important than his freedom to act out. Sorry, Ben, turns out that quote isn't universally applicable. If somebody is screaming that they don't care if they die and they begin acting violent, regardless of their justification, you are completely justified in being afraid and defending yourself and other people. This isn't exactly hard to wrap your head around, but progressives just can't come to this conclusion because of race and power dynamics. Have you ever seen how the progs talk about homeless people? Oh, sorry, not homeless, the unhoused. Homeless is a slur now, and we don't want to stigmatize their alternative but nonetheless valid way of living. Homeless people aren't criminals, that's just bigotry. In fact, if you perpetuate the right-wing myth that cities are hotbeds of homelessness and crime, you're the problem. Despite, you know, the fact that it's happening. Oh, a guy wants to walk around the subway with his pants around his ankles and brain you with a fucking brick? Stop complaining, you white bourgeois oppressor. He's black and unhoused, and that means you have the power, and he's just lashing out against an unjust system that your existence perpetuates. Some progressives want to make the conversation about the drug crisis, while at the same time promoting harm reduction measures where drug addicts are given a safe supply of drugs, as if a safe supply of heroin or meth could ever actually exist. Other progressives want to make the conversation about the mental health crisis, claiming that the homeless need to be treated and the healthcare system needs to be bolstered, while at the same time claiming that a focus on Neely's mental health is racist because it implies that Neely was the problem, and not the vile white supremacist who choked him out. What all of this discourse serves to do is nothing at all. It serves to paralyze the conversation. Every possible solution is problematic. So progressives cry and wail and gnash their teeth, but ultimately end up changing nothing, despite completely running locations like LA and San Francisco and New York City. Why are they doing this? In my opinion, it's because the homeless are a politically useful tool for the progressives. If they actually solve the problem, progressives couldn't virtue signal about it anymore. As time went on, we began to discover more about who Jordan Neely was. This clip of him as a street performer, a Michael Jackson impersonator, went viral with the caption, "He always made people smile. Our broken mental health system failed him. He deserved help, not to die in a chokehold on the floor of a subway." And yeah, fair enough. He also shouldn't have threatened people in the subway too. People recognized Neely from his days as a performer, and before this event, his deterioration was well documented by people online asking what the hell happened to him. Neely's uncle claimed that his nephew was medicating with K2 in order to cope with the recent death of his mother. K2 is a synthetic cannabinoid that has psychotic behavior, violent behavior, and suicidal thoughts as side effects. The uncle claimed that Neely didn't want anyone's help. He wanted to be on the streets and be on the drugs, and the only help he received was when people called the cops on him. But he also believed that his nephew's death was a gang killing, and he wanted those three men arrested. It's not like the uncle's a good person or character himself, though. He's been arrested 20 times in the past year for a wide array of crimes, ranging from stealing credit cards, jumping bail, resisting arrest, unlawful possession of a weapon, and he keeps getting let out by the authorities. The family might claim that Neely was innocent, but it seems like the whole ass tree is just rotten. Neely's own criminal record is similar. He had at least 42 prior arrests, possibly more. Highlights include breaking an old woman's nose in 2021, attacking an old man in 2019, and kidnapping a child in 2015. None of this means that it was good for Neely to die at the hands of Penny. Obviously, he should have been arrested and given a fair trial. But what it does mean is that there is a pattern of behavior, choices that Neely consistently made to make the lives of people around him worse with his actions. And one of those choices finally caught up to him. In my opinion, despite Penny's overreach, which he still might get legally slapped for, he was morally in the right to defend himself and everybody else on the subway from imminent violence. And this is a position that we used to understand as a society, that violence in self-defense isn't good, you shouldn't want to do it, but that it is justifiable and sometimes necessary. 7 years ago, a very similar clip went viral of someone going nuts on a subway and getting restrained by passengers. Back then, this was taken by people on social media as a heroic act that was unfortunately necessary. But in 2023, self-defense is murder if the skin colors aren't up to the progressive standard. Of course, Neely is only the latest in a long line of the left lionizing losers. We saw one of America's most high-profile old guard race grifters, Al Sharpton, tell blatant lies at his funeral.
There was no weapons. There was no language. Nobody was threatened. And you grab them and put them in a chokehold. Two people help hold them down. And you go to the precinct and they let you go.
We saw Black Lives Matter protests on the New York subway. We saw Black Lives Matter protest in the park.
If we don't get no justice, if we don't get no peace. I said if we don't get no justice, if we don't get no peace. I said if we don't get no justice, if we don't get no peace. If we don't get no justice, if we don't get no peace. The police are terrorists.
Police are terrorists.
The police are terrorists.
Police are terrorists.
We saw Black Lives Matter protest in the street.
Justice or they'll burn it down. Well, at least they have rhythm. Meantime, progressive Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley.
Jeez, that was spicy. Despite the progressive stated goals, they're not seeking justice in events like these, at least not primarily. Their actual goal is some form of racial supremacy. When a black person commits a crime, they want that black person protected because he's black, not prosecuted because he's a criminal. The racial identity is more important to the progs than the bad behavior. This is something that the rightoids have always said, but that the leftoids finally had the balls to come out and say themselves back during the George Floyd riots. This dynamic has governed the progressive response ever since. If a black person goes viral online, he's innocent because of his skin color, and his actions don't matter. That's why Black Lives Matter protested in support of Tekel Sundberg shooting up an apartment block and against the police who finally took him out. And it's why Black Lives Matter is coming out in support of Neely now. White self-defenders bad, black criminals good. This is how progressives operate. If you flip the races around, they have no problem saying, fuck around and find out, whitey. Also, I just personally find it really funny how many intersectional types are coming out in support of Neely, with trans flags and pride flags or whatever, considering that one of Neely's many arrests was a hate crime against the Alphabet Mafia.
But sir, yeah, rainbow. Angry Michael. See you, Michael. Yo, that guy was crazy.
What, nigga? I'll call a cop.
You ain't gonna do nothing. I just stepped on your jacket. Michael, I just stepped on your jacket. See you later. What's up with that, man? What do you think of Michael Jackson, people?
It's crazy.
The local like a mesa.
There's hundreds of deaths across the USA daily. With a nation of 330 million, that's pretty normal. But the story that goes viral, the story that is amplified on both social and legacy media alike, is one where a black hobo goes wild in a subway and threatens people, and a white Marine subdues and kills him. It's never a story about a black guy who's shot up by other black guys in a gang-related event. It's never a story about a white woman whose black boyfriend kills her because she tried to leave him. It's never a story about racial activists or anarchists who burn buildings down. They pick the few cases that support their politics and blast them through a megaphone. We're still talking about George Floyd 3 fucking years later, and despite the bad actions of the police, George Floyd was a burnout loser. At some point, you have to consider the possibility that they intend to spark race riots as a part of their wider subversive goals of destabilizing liberal society. They claim, with no proof, that Penny was a white supremacist who was just salivating at the opportunity to kill a black man, while not sparing even a shred of concern for that black man's victims. In fact, they demonize those victims as bourgeois comfort seekers. they're okay with creating a degenerate, low-trust society where nobody feels safe, because that's an optimal way to push for the revolution that they seek, all the while performing empathy for their peers. They moralize from their safe suburbs and gated communities about how the plebeians should navigate dangerous situations. Everything is a platitude, everything's a slogan. They have no intention of ever actually helping people like Jordan Neely before they cross that point of no return. They don't even know what they should do to help, even if they wanted to. The homeless continue to exist because their existence fuels progressive self-flagellation and progressive self-love. Progs can virtue signal out one side of their mouth and then raise millions of dollars on GoFundMe out the other. It's a pretty solid grift they've got going, and it all hinges on you being a terrified cuck who will do anything to avoid getting labeled as a racist and having your life destroyed. So, don't be a racist, obviously, but don't be afraid of being called a racist anymore, either. These people are morally degenerate. Their moral judgment is worthless to you.